Picture this. Granite walls on both sides of you. A river threading through the canyon floor somewhere below your nose. Trees that climb past your altitude on both sides, and you are threading a needle of airspace between them. And ahead, somewhere in that wilderness, a grass strip carved into the bottom of a canyon by people who decided the mountains were not going to win. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar, and I need to tell you about Johnson Creek. If you have not heard of Johnson Creek Airport, Identifier 1 Uniform 2, sitting in the Boise National Forest in Valley County, Idaho, then you have a gap in your aviation education that we are filling right now. Because Johnson Creek is not just an airport, it is a pilgrimage site. It is a test. It is the kind of place that backcountry pilots talk about the way climbers talk about Denali. You either have it in your logbook or it is on your list. There is no in-between. And before we go flying, let me give a quick shout to today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. I actually had a pilot walk up to me on the ramp at Johnson Creek this past summer and pull a challenge coin out of his flight bag, and I thought there is no better symbol for this kind of flying. You earn your place up here. Mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com.
Okay, back to Idaho. Let me set the scene, because this is a strip you cannot understand from a description alone. You have to feel it. Johnson Creek sits at approximately 4,900 feet above sea level. The runway is grass, about 2,400 feet long, and it slopes uphill from south to north, which means you land to the north going uphill, and you take off to the south going downhill. One-way operation. The mountains make sure you remember it.
The valley around the strip is tight. Granite peaks and ridge lines rise on both sides. When you are inbound, you're flying down a canyon. Your traffic pattern is not a standard rectangle. It is a canyon-shaped negotiation. You are watching the ridge line, watching your altitude, watching your airspeed, making sure that green strip at the bottom is exactly where you want it, because you're not just going to go around and try again without consequences. I talked to a pilot named Sarah who flew her Cessna 180 into Johnson Creek for the first time last August, she said, and I want you to hear this. I had been flying for 9 years, I thought I was pretty good, and then I got my mountain flying checkout, flew up the canyon on my first solo approach, and I was humbled in the best possible way. That right there is backcountry flying. That is why people do this. Here is something that separates backcountry pilots from everybody else, and I mean this with complete respect. These pilots do their homework. Before you ever point the nose at a strip like Johnson Creek, you get a mountain flying checkout with an instructor who knows these canyons. It is not a federal aviation regulation requirement the way a type rating is, but the community enforces it. The culture enforces it. The Idaho Aviation Association, which has been one of the champions of backcountry flying culture in this state for decades, they will tell you flat out, get the training, get the checkout. Not because you're not a good pilot, because mountain flying has its own rules, its own threats, its own specific ways of surprising you, density, altitude at 4,900 feet on a summer afternoon when it is 85 degrees. Your density altitude can push well above 8,000 feet before you know it. Your takeoff roll just got dramatically longer, your climb rate just got dramatically worse, and the terrain is right there. Thermal activity in the afternoon makes canyon approaches unpredictable. The old hands will tell you, fly in the morning, fly out before noon. The mountains heat up and the air gets rowdy. This is knowledge you earn. This is knowledge that gets passed down on ramps like the one at Johnson Creek from one generation of backcountry pilots to the next.
Let me take you to the ramp. It is about 8 in the morning when I get there, early enough that the dew is still on the grass and the mountains are still in shadow on one side of the canyon. There are already 6 or 7 airplanes parked on the grass beside the strip. A Piper, Super Cub with Tundra tires. I mean fat. Those tires are wider than my forearm, beautiful airplane, orange and cream, and it looks like it was born for this environment, because it was next to it is a Carbon Cub, one of the newer builds from Cub Crafters up in Yakima, Washington. This airplane is a machine modified to climb steep, slow down tight, land short. The pilot has a big grin on his face because he got here first this morning and he knows it. There is a Cessna 185 Skywagon with camping gear strapped to the rear panniers and a sleeping bag and what looks like a Dutch oven tied somewhere aft. I asked the pilot about it later and he said, I cook better camp dinners at Johnson Creek than I do at home. I believe him completely down at the far end, a Kit Fox Series 7 with the high lift wing. This thing has drooping ailerons that double as flaps, and it flies so slow it practically hovers. The pilot is a woman named Terry who has been flying Idaho backcountry strips for 22 years, and she is the person everybody comes to with questions. She has a paper map spread out on the wing, the sectional, and she is walking someone through the approach to a strip further up the watershed. This is the community. This is what Johnson Creek is. I have to talk about the Recreational Aviation Foundation, the RAF, because if you love backcountry flying, you owe these people something.
The RAF was founded in 2004, specifically to preserve backcountry airstrips under threat of closure. And there were a lot of them. Forest Service strips, Bureau of Land Management strips, state-owned strips. They were aging, losing maintenance funding, being quietly decommissioned. The RAF stepped in. They work with land management agencies to keep strips open. They organize volunteer work parties to go in and grade and mow and fix drainage and clear brush. They have worked on over 1,000 airstrips across the United States. When you land at a strip like Johnson Creek and the grass is mown and the surface is smooth and the windsock is flying, somebody made that happen. Somebody drove equipment in or flew equipment in or showed up with a mower and spent a weekend making it right. The RAF connects those people and organizes that work. If you're a backcountry pilot and you're not a member, go to recreationalaviationfoundation.org. Join, go to a work party, give something back to the strips that give you the best flying of your life. Let me tell you about a guy named Dave. Dave is 67 years old, and he has been flying for 41 of those years. He learned in a Cessna 152 in Nebraska, flew cross-country for decades, got his instrument rating, flew twins, and about 15 years ago, a friend talked him into a mountain flying course in McCall, Idaho. I thought I knew everything, he tells me. He is leaning against his Cessna 180, nose parked uphill out of sheer habit, even when the terrain does not require it. 26 years of flying at that point, commercial certificate, instrument, multi, and this instructor took me into the mountains, and I had no idea what I was doing. He got the check out. He started flying Idaho backcountry strips one by one. Johnson Creek, Big Creek, Cavanaugh Bay, Sulphur Creek Ranch. He has dozens of them in the logbook now. He comes to Johnson Creek 4 or 5 times a summer. These are the flights I remember, he says. I have thousands of hours I remember, maybe 20 flights from the first 20 years. I remember every single backcountry strip. That right there is everything. Let me walk you through the approach, because I want you to feel what it is like. You are coming down the drainage from the south. The canyon narrows. You are watching your altitude relative to the terrain, and it is very real, because the trees are very real and the rocks are very real. Airspeed is everything. You're flying the numbers, not approximating them. Your approach speed is calibrated for your weight, your density altitude, your aircraft. You did the math before you left the ground, because that is what backcountry pilots do. The strip reveals itself below you. It is green and gorgeous, and it looks short because it is short. 2,400 feet sounds like plenty until you are configured for landing at a density altitude above 8,000 feet, with a slope and trees at each end. You cross the threshold, you land uphill, which means you are decelerating naturally. The slope is working for you, the grass is smooth, slightly soft, and the airplane rolls out. You are breathing again. And then you taxi to the parking area and you shut down. And I want you to imagine what comes next. Silence. Not the silence of an empty room. The silence of a mountain canyon with a river in it. You can hear the water over the rocks. You can hear wind in the pines. You can hear a bird somewhere up on the ridgeline. The engine ticks as it cools. And you're sitting at one of the most remote public-use airports in the lower 48 contiguous states. It feels earned because it is. Johnson Creek is a camping destination as much as it is a flying destination. Primitive camping right there at the strip. You tie down in the grass, you pitch a tent. You watch the stars come out over the canyon walls. I met a pilot who brings a packable fly rod every single time. He says the fishing is secondary. The flight is the point, the fish are a bonus. That is about right. There is no fuel at Johnson Creek. Plan accordingly. Nearest services are down at McCall Municipal Airport, which is a beautiful facility in a great town with fuel and good restaurants and a whole community of backcountry-minded pilots who can talk shop for hours. A lot of people use McCall as their base and day trip into the strips from there. Smart strategy.
Now let's talk aircraft for a second, because backcountry flying has a culture of machinery that is genuinely fascinating. The Piper Super Cub is still the classic backcountry machine,
I don't care how many people tell me there are better options now. This airplane in the hands of a skilled pilot is poetry. Low stall speed, incredible visibility, gentle handling. It was designed to go where other planes couldn't, and decades later it still delivers. The carbon cub from Cubcrafters is what you get when someone takes that concept and applies modern engineering to it. Composite structures, a strong purpose-built power plant, outstanding climb performance. If you are building a backcountry-specific machine today, you're probably looking hard at the carbon cub. The Cessna 180 and 185 are workhorses. They carry more, they are faster. The trade-off is they need more strip, but a well-flown 180 in the hands of someone who knows the mountains is an extraordinary tool, and the whole world of short take-off and landing modifications. Companies like Backcountry Aircraft doing vortex generators, leading-edge cuffs, modified flap systems, those incremental performance gains can be the literal difference between a strip being accessible or inaccessible for a given airplane and pilot combination. This is a technical community. These pilots know their performance numbers. They talk about stall speeds and climb rates and density altitude calculations the way other pilots talk about almost anything else. Here is what I think backcountry flying is really about, and I want to leave you with this. Modern aviation is remarkable. You can get in an airplane in Seattle and be in Miami 5 hours later. You can fly instrument flight rules in the clouds at 45,000 feet and have sophisticated automation do enormous amounts of the work. Aviation has never been more capable, and backcountry flying takes you in the opposite direction. Not because backcountry pilots don't value technology. They use ForeFlight. They have GPS, they know exactly where they are and exactly what their airplane is doing, but backcountry flying strips away the comfort layer and makes the airplane work. Makes you work. Managing terrain and density altitude and canyon wind in a 2,400-foot grass strip in the Idaho wilderness. Because you trained for it. Because you earned the right to be here.
When they shut down and hear that canyon go quiet, they know something that is harder and harder to find in a lot of places. They know exactly what they are capable of. Information for this segment came from the Idaho Aviation Association, the Recreational Aviation Foundation, and conversations with the pilots who know these strips better than most people know their own neighborhoods. More at RadioHanger.com. I'm Ramp. Go earn a backcountry strip.